2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's Word. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We pray that you will be with us. You will be with the person who is preaching so that he may preach the word correctly. And that you may be with all of us, that we may understand your word, and that we may believe, and by your grace, that we may be able to obey in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, tell us the beautiful stories of Jesus Christ, so that we may hear the gospel and be glad. And as we hear your word, we pray that our faith will grow, that we, your people, will grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin chapter 3 today. Let me remind you what Paul said at the end of chapter 2. The Apostle Paul described the Christians as the fragrance of Christ, the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will remember this, that all of us, as the prisoners of Jesus Christ, being led in a triumphant procession. So Jesus Christ himself is the victorious general, and you and I, we are his prisoners. And we participate in this triumphal procession. And that's what our life is all about. No matter where we live, no matter what we do, you have to see yourself, your life, as participating in this triumphal procession. And as we participate in this triumphal procession, we give off the sweet aroma of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last time I preached this, I told you that it smells pretty good in this room. Now in chapter 3, Paul continues to defend his ministry And the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, he preaches. And he does this by comparing and contrasting with the ministry and teachings of the false teachers. And by doing this, Paul is not trying to boast, but he understands if he is proven false, then the gospel that he preaches is also false. We have already seen the one who was against Paul and later repented. But there were many more who were against Paul and Paul's preaching. Chapter 2, verse 17 says, "For we are not like many peddling the word of God." So it's not just that one person we saw in particular in chapter 2, but there were many people who were against Paul and Paul's teaching. And as we read chapter 3, we realize that these false teachers, they did not understand the teachings of the Old Testament, and they were focused on the earthly things rather than the heavenly things. They did not understand the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They taught as if they are still living in the Old Testament time. They taught as if the Messiah did not come yet and did not accomplish anything yet. They did not understand that the old things passed away and behold, new things have come. Now this chapter is a very important chapter for all of us. Because here, Paul compares and contrasts the old covenant with the new covenant. And we must have the right understanding of these covenants, otherwise our understanding of the gospel will be wrong. Now, before I say anything, because I don't want to be accused of saying something that I don't say to you. So before I say anything, I would like to say this. The Old Testament in and of itself is not bad or inadequate. The Old Covenant in and of itself is not bad or inadequate. The law is perfect. Now, when you read this chapter, you might feel that Paul is saying exactly that, that law is inadequate. Well, it is inadequate in bringing the salvation to God's people. But law in and of itself is perfect. So when he's comparing the new covenant with the old covenant, he's not saying that old covenant is actually attacking the new covenant. He's not saying that old covenant is a bad thing. But we must understand what Paul is doing here. And it will take us many, many weeks. We cannot finish this chapter in one or two Sundays. It will take more than that. So, let us pay great attention here because it is very, very important. But today, it will be just the introduction. And we'll deal with the beginning section of this chapter today. Okay, the old covenant in and of itself is not bad or inadequate. It was established by God himself, and during the Old Testament, God governed his people through that old covenant. And the people of God in the Old Testament lived their lives in terms of participating in that old covenant. But we must understand the meaning and the purpose of the old covenant. It points to the better, the perfect covenant that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes when he comes. And when the perfect, the eternal comes, the shadowy things must step aside. The Messiah has come, and he completely and perfectly fulfilled the old covenant by establishing the new covenant. And we cannot go back to the old covenant. We cannot go back to the Old Testament time. But even now, we are able to learn about the reality of the eternal salvation that our Lord has accomplished from the old covenant as we understand the meaning and the purpose of that old covenant. Holding on to the old, even when the perfect and the eternal thing has come, is to deny what our Lord has done and accomplished for his people. The purpose of the old covenant, in a nutshell, is to show us that our salvation is not by works. It cannot be by our works. That's the purpose. And if we learn that from the old covenant, then we will do well. But these people, they actually use the law to be saved. That they were able to do good works according to the law. And because of their good works, they thought they were saved. See, they used the law in a way that God never intended to be used by the sinners. That's their problem. Now, we're going to study this in more detail in the weeks to come. So, we'll talk about this more and more. And since this is so important topic, maybe like Fridays when we gather for our catechism study, if you're not clear on what we are saying here, we'll bring this up and talk about it more. So pay attention and try to understand what Paul is doing here. It is so important. But today, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? A letter of commendation. Well, I guess today it's easier to say a letter of recommendation. At the time, many false teachers would bring the letters of recommendation to demonstrate that they are to be trusted. So these false teachers in this Corinthian church, obviously they came from somewhere, and they brought letters of recommendation just to prove that they are to be trusted. But you need to remember that when Satan comes to us, he comes to us as an angel. It is not that easy to distinguish, at least in the beginning, whether that it is false teacher or not. Because they don't come and say, don't believe in Jesus. You know, they don't do that. Actually, all these false teachers who emphasize on salvation by good works, they will all agree that Jesus died for our sins. That we need Jesus. They will agree with us in pretty much everything that we say. But at the end, they say, but you still need to do good works to be saved. It's at that end we're different. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers. But look at that. Disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Very important for you to understand. They will speak of Jesus Christ. And they will even say right things. But you have to listen to the whole message. Because at the end, it's not just Jesus. It's not only Jesus. Is by their works. And these false teachers were saying that because Paul did not have any letter of recommendation, he cannot be trusted, thus his teaching cannot be trusted either. Now, first of all, Paul is not arguing that the letter of recommendation is a bad thing. Because Paul himself has written many of them. In his letters, you will see Paul recommending various people to the receivers of his letters. Even here in 2 Corinthians, go to chapter 8, verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory of Christ. So here he says good things about Titus and receive him very well, he said. Romans 16, verse 1. Let me give you a couple examples here. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Centuria. So here you see that he recommends Phoebe. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. And you know the story when Paul recommends Onesimus to Philemon. We see that. Then what is Paul arguing then? Obviously, he's not saying that letter of recommendation itself is a bad thing. Paul's argument is this, that Paul is a true apostle. Meaning that he was not elected by the votes of people. And he was not installed as an apostle by the leaders of the church. It was Jesus Christ himself, our Lord himself, has called Paul and installed him as his apostle. So why does Paul need a letter of recommendation from any man? If I go to some other church, I need to have a letter of recommendation because I was elected and installed as pastor by you people. And the leaders of the church has installed or ordained me. But Paul did not become an apostle like that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who praised him, who raised him from the dead. Paul, an apostle, not sent by or from men, nor through the agency of men. Verse 11 and 12, For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 9? We saw this before we even began studying the 2 Corinthians. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 through 16. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. It was Jesus Christ himself. So that's Paul's argument. Why do I need the letters of recommendation? And further, Paul argues, if you really want a letter of recommendation from me, then I indeed have one for you. He indeed has the letter of recommendation, even though the false teachers will not acknowledge it. Verse 2, You are our letter, he says, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. And verse 3, the first section of verse 3, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And it is very important to understand this verse 2 and verse 3. The Corinthian congregation is Paul's letter of recommendation. Why? Because they are the letter of Christ. What Paul is saying is this, you are the letter that clearly testifies the fact that I am a true apostle of Jesus Christ. As you live by true faith in Jesus Christ, as all men see you and see how you live by faith in Jesus Christ, and you do that by what I have taught you, as you are known and read by all men, you are my letter of recommendation. See, Paul taught these people. And through Paul's teaching, they have received the true gospel. And the Holy Spirit used that gospel to save these people and gave them true faith. And as they live by true faith in Jesus Christ, and as they live by true faith, all men can see that. But they're doing that through the teachings of Paul. So as they live that life in faith in Jesus, they show to the whole world that Paul, at least his teaching, was the true teaching. And that Paul was the true apostle that sent by Christ himself. And he says, you are the letter written in our hearts. This letter of recommendation Paul carries everywhere he goes is in his heart. And this letter of recommendation is not written by ink as it is as in the earthly letter of recommendation, but it is written by the Holy Spirit. You are the letter of Christ cared for by us. You are the letter of Christ through our ministry, through the ministry of Paul. And this letter is written by the Holy Spirit because it's by the Holy Spirit these people live by the true faith in Jesus Christ. And they become letters of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are the letter of Christ. We learned last time at the end of chapter 2 that we are the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Today, Paul tells us that we are the letter of Jesus Christ. As a fragrance of Jesus Christ, what was the picture? As you live your life in this world, wherever you go, you give off this smell, this fragrance, this aroma. And it's not just smell of this world, but it was aroma of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this smell actually gives the knowledge of Christ. What was he saying? Well, through the word that you preach and share, the knowledge of Christ goes out. That's your life, fragrance of Christ. And we have pretty much the same thing here, the letter of Christ. So when people read you, the letter, what do they read? Jesus Christ. First Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." It's pretty much saying the same thing. Through the preaching of Christ, the Paul, these people now are saved and have the true faith. As long as they live by the true faith in Christ, they become the letter, the recommendation letter for Jesus, for Paul. Because it clearly shows that what Paul was teaching is true gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has been written on them, on their lives, on their hearts. As the true believers of the true gospel, as they live their lives in faith in Jesus Christ, they act as the letter of Christ. Whoever reads them, they read the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoever watches how they live, whoever watches them, their lives, they will read Jesus Christ. They are the letters of Christ. This is who you are. And you must understand this, you know. In this, many of us are Asian American. And we talk about in our communities how young people in our communities they have identity crisis. They don't know who they are. You know, am I Chinese or am I American? Well, Chinese American. But what is that? See, they just don't know who they are. And if this happens to Christians, it is a serious problem. Christians, they don't know who they are. You are the fragrance of Christ and you are the letter of Christ. You must understand what your life is all about. No matter what you do out there, it doesn't matter what you do. Whether you have business, you go to job, you have a job, or you go to school, your main job is being fragrance of Christ and letter of Christ. If you don't know who you are, you're going to have a hard time living as who you are. So think about this. Whatever you might be doing after this worship, people will see you. People will smell you. What will they smell? People will read you. What would they read from you? And if it's not Jesus Christ, then we really need to think about what we're doing. This is what God tells us, who we are. Whether you really want to be this or not, that's, you know, another matter. But if you're a Christian, this is who you are. Whoever reads us, he or she reads the gospel of Jesus Christ. The letter is about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit writes Jesus Christ in their hearts and uses them as the letter of Christ to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is who we are in Christ. You and I are the letter of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. This is very important. Because, I mean, let's face it. If we realize, okay, I'm the fragrance of Christ. I'm the letter of Christ. Now what? Because you know, I know, that we're not going to be good at this. But we must remember that our adequacy as the letter of Christ, our adequacy as the fragrance of Christ, it doesn't come from ourselves. Because if it is all up to us, all up to our abilities, then just forget it. It's just not going to happen. But do you remember that verse? Every promises of God is yes in Jesus Christ. So as long as you trust Christ, you believe in Him, you will be adequate as the letter of Christ and the fragrance of Christ. You must trust Him. You must live in faith in Jesus Christ. Your adequacy comes from God. God does it all. God uses Paul and all of His people as such. The ability and the competence come from God. 1 Corinthians 9:2, if to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. See, the pastors today are the same. How can we know a pastor is called by God and installed by God and used by God? How can you know that I am a pastor that God called and installed by God and you know, being used by God today? It's not through how much congregation loves me. It's not that. Oh, just because all of you love me, now I'm proven I'm the right one. I'm the true pastor that's sent by God. No. It's not how much the congregation praises that pastor. It's not how much the congregation acknowledges that pastor. No. We know. How? When the congregation has the true faith and lives by that faith in Jesus Christ, then we know. Now, obviously, you know, in the church, in any church, there will always be fake ones. But if in that church, many of God's people are living by that faith, that's how you know that my teaching and my ministry is true teaching and true ministry. Nothing has changed. Because we believe that God's work is effective. And think about it. Week after week, day after day, every time we have Bible study, here I am preaching the gospel. And the congregation, they never grow. I mean, not in numbers. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. They still love the world, and they just love as if the world is everything. Then you must ask, what's happening? Either I'm not preaching the gospel, or God is ineffective. You know how much faith it takes for me to continue as pastor. I believe God is effective. And if you are truly Christians, your faith will grow because God is working. And if I'm really preaching the true gospel, you will grow. Because it just doesn't make any sense that God is ineffective in His work. I don't believe in that kind of God. I believe my God does everything according to His will, and He accomplishes it positively, absolutely. You are my letter of recommendation. But more importantly, you are the letter of Jesus Christ. You know, it's okay to be a just mediocre letter of recommendation for me. But you need to realize you are a letter of Christ. What are you telling the world? Are you telling the world that God is ineffective? that all this thing about God has power and, you know, he does whatever he pleases and he has power to do so is all lie. What will people read from you? But, brothers and sisters, we're not talking about, you know, you living a honest and good life. Because even non-Christians could do that better than you. You know, there are many non-Christians who are so honest. Well, in a worldly way. How can they be honest? I should correct that, right? If they say there is no God, they are the biggest liar in the whole world. But, you know what I mean when I say they're more honest than Christians. We're not talking about like that. But what will people read? And this is very important point that I'm trying to make here. Because my life is just like yours. And I never think of my life is just so holy and so awesome and everybody see how I live and they're just so amazed. No. I'm a sinner just like you. But what they will read in this letter, me, is this. That we are, or I am, saved by grace. Even as I fail miserably in my life, they will see me continue to hold on to Jesus Christ. They will see me continue to depend on Jesus Christ. They will see me continue to come to Him and worship Him and praise Him and continue to tell others that it's by grace. It's not by my good works. I am God's letter telling the people salvation is by grace. Do you understand what we're talking about? Don't take it, you know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you, okay, you miserable sinners, you are just living lousy life. Okay, shape up, go out, and now do your best, and then show that you are at least better than non-Christians. That's not what I'm talking about. Even if you go out and you lie less, and you, I don't know, all this morally, you are better than how you are now, what does that prove? And don't misunderstand me, it's not bad to live more morally upright. Please do. I mean, you know, whenever I say the gospel, people misunderstand. Please do live more morally upright. Please. But that's not the point. Point is, you continually hang on to Christ. That whoever comes to you and ask you or touch you, that only thing that will come out from your mouth and is by grace, by Christ. As a letter of Christ, our message is that God's salvation is by grace. Thus, even sinner like me, a sinner who lives this lousy life, I'm saved. And I will praise God, my God, forever and ever. I will love Him. Yes, I will sin again, but I will repent. But I will love my God. It's by His grace I'm saved. I will trust Him that He will make me like Christ one day. Even as you see me today and conclude, man, no way. How are you going to be like Christ? I will continue to trust God that He will make me like Christ. It's by grace. That's our message. Oh, I pray to God that you will get this point. The Holy Spirit accomplishes this. As long as the true gospel is preached, then we have hope. You are the letter of Christ. As you live by the true faith in Him, you are the letter of Christ, telling the whole world that it is by grace, it is by Jesus Christ alone. So this question, what do people read as they read you? I hope you answer. It's all by grace. That's the message. All by grace. Yeah. Please spread that gospel. You know, it's not about telling them how good you are, but telling them even how bad you are, you're still saved because of the grace of God. That's your message. All sinners can be saved if they trust in Christ. I don't know. I want to keep on repeating that over and over and over. I don't get tired of repeating that over and over because that's what the gospel is all about. But obviously we must go on. And let's go on really fast. Verse 3b, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. As the Apostle Paul compares his teachings with the teachings of the false teachers, he compares his ministry with the ministry of Moses in the Old Testament. He compares his ministry with the Old Covenant in which Moses was the mediator. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The Old Testament Ten Commandments were written on the tablets of stone. Exodus 31 verse 18, when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. Deuteronomy 9:10, the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written by the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord has spoken with you at the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. So what is Paul doing? Paul is saying that false teachers are like the Old Testament, like the Old Covenant. But if you understand the Old Covenant correctly, biblically, you will know that even from the Old Covenant, we will learn Jesus Christ. That we will learn that it is not by our works. But these people did not understand that. They made the Old Covenant absolute. So that it is by the law, the works of the law, that they will be saved. But see, in the Old Covenant, what is the Old Covenant? It's written, even though it is written by God Himself, but it is written on the tablets of stone. So it's outside of me. So God wrote me commandments. That's the Old Testament, Old Covenant. Now what? Can I obey? No, I can't. Because of my sin, I cannot obey. So does those words that he wrote on the stone actually brings condemnation to me? It kills me. Not that the law itself is inadequate or it's not perfect. No, law itself is perfect. But it's because of my sin, when it's written on the stone, I cannot obey this. Thus, those words will kill me. For wage of sin is death. But what about the New Testament? What about the... Well, I should not say Testament here. We're comparing Old Covenant with the New Covenant. I should stick with Old Covenant and New Covenant. But then what about New Covenant? Go to Jeremiah 31. Yeah, let's do this quickly because we're running out of time. Jeremiah 31. 31. See how easy it is to remember? 31, 31. These kind of verses you should remember. 31, 31. And let me read to you. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. New covenant, he says he's going to make. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. The old covenant. So this new covenant is not like the old covenant. How is it different? How is it different? My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But how is it different? 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now one more passage. Ezekiel 36. And let me read that and talk to you after that. 26. Moreover, I will give you, it's talking about the new covenant, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I give to your forefathers, so you will be my people and I will be your God. If you put that two verses together, the new covenant is different. Why? Because no longer God writes on the tablets of stone, but he writes in your heart. Now, writing in your heart, another way of saying is when Holy Spirit comes and makes you a new creation, or gives you a new heart, or you're born again, you know, however you understand that. The Holy Spirit will write in your heart. So, think about this. In the Old Covenant, it's written on the stone. But since you're a sinner, you cannot obey this, so only thing will result is condemnation. But now in the new covenant, he writes in your heart. He makes you a new creation. He gives you faith. He actually enables you to believe, so that in Christ, he enables you to obey. No longer like the old covenant. So in the old covenant, only thing you could do is all outwardly. So even your obedience is never really from your heart, but you know, he says, well, keep it holy Sabbath. Even though you don't want it in your heart, you have to. Why? Because you'll be stoned to death. So outwardly, okay, I obey. But you're not really obeying. Because it's never from your heart. Your heart is not recreated. But in the new covenant, your heart is now new heart. Not only outwardly you obey, but from your heart you want to obey. Now, you know, of course you don't obey perfectly, but in your heart you find that you want to obey. Because Holy Spirit has written in your heart. The law written on the tablets of stone, the sinners cannot obey perfectly. Thus they must die forever, for the penalty of sin is death. The Holy Spirit has written them on your heart. He gives us the new heart. He must save us and give us true faith. Again, we are not saying that the law itself is bad or inadequate, but the sinners just do not have the ability to obey perfectly the law of God. Romans 7:10. And this commandment, which was to result in life, if you obey the commandment perfectly, you have life. So this commandment, which, he says, was to result in life, proved to result in death for me, because the sin, I cannot obey. If you obey, you live, but you cannot, thus it brings death. Now we'll look at this in more detail in the weeks to come. Let us summarize then the argument of Paul in the beginning of this chapter. If the ministry of Moses, in which the law was written on the tablets of stone, was glorious and acknowledged, then his ministry, Paul's ministry, in which the law is now written on the tablets of hearts, is more glorious and must be acknowledged more. He is not saying this to boast of himself and what he's doing, but he is saying this so that the people of God will understand the superiority of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for his people. Paul's letter of recommendation, the true faith, true salvation, true sanctification of the Corinthian congregation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that you are the letter of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, question, what would people read from you? Jesus Christ, the grace of our God. They must read from you the true gospel. As you live by faith, you show that your salvation is not by works, but by grace through faith. Now, this is not to say that now we live ignoring our sanctification in Jesus Christ, but our message is always grace in Jesus Christ. It is only by Jesus Christ. Only by faith in Jesus Christ. We must depend only upon Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. We must love only Jesus Christ. And we must repent of our sins and continue to hold fast Jesus Christ. We live by faith, and by faith we become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are indeed the letter of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, as a letter of Jesus Christ, you are known and read by all men. They read you. And you have the message. Always remember that. You are the letter of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you that you have made us fragrance of Christ and now letter of Christ. Oh, Father, as such, let us spread the aroma of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us spread the gospel, the good news, that our salvation is by grace, not by our good works of the law. continue to bless your church, continue to bless all of us, that as fragrance of Christ and the letter of Christ, that we will spread the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.